204 DGS on KMOX. It's Halloween week here at DGS. We take it quite seriously. So today at 3 p.m., we will be giving a one-hour condensed version of when we went to Jefferson Barracks. We're the first and, to my knowledge, only ghost hunting team, if we can take that moniker, to go in there and to do an investigation. It was pretty interesting, pretty eventful. So that will be at 3 p.m. And then kind of next couple of days, Andrew, on Wednesday, we'll have some listener stories.
We will have probably some you stories
tomorrow.
Okay,
so I've written another Halloween story.
You've written another one, and you've got some wonderful stories from the decades and decades of your own experiences to draw from, and it's really compelling stuff. And then Thursday, we've got the listener stuff going on, right? We've Lizzie and Todd and... Mm-hmm. Really frightening, interesting, true Halloween stories.
They were good.
Which are always a blast to hear and always a blast to play. So it's going to be fun. We're going to have fun the next couple of days.
I have so much fun writing these stories. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things like, it's not natural for me. It's natural for me coming up with ideas. I will give myself credit for that. I'm pretty good at coming up with ideas. But it's sort of like saying, I want to hit a home run. And then hitting a home run. The actual... almost physical act of writing is difficult.
Yep.
You ever done it much, Wheels? Like fiction?
No, not really. No.
Just in his head when he's going to sleep.
Yeah, I do that. Mm-hmm. I create great movies in my head as I'm falling asleep, and then I can't remember the end.
Mm-hmm.
No, I've not really tried that. Because most of the writing I did that I've done has really been sports-based, whether it's column-style thing or like scouting reports on players for fantasy baseball outlets and things like that. Like,
yeah.
Never really tried the fiction world. I don't have the patience. I think that's the problem. I don't. Like, I don't have the patience to sit down.
I hurry through too much.
Yeah. I have the patience to picture things in my head.
Yeah.
And go through that. I don't have the patience to find all the words. Because in your head, you're seeing it. You don't have to describe it. And putting in the time is what I respect most about fiction writers. Because you create a universe. And then you have to paint the picture with words, and it's detailed, man. And I don't have the talent for it, but I know that I don't have the patience for
Rich,
it.
Rich, ever tried it?
Well, you're forgetting that I wrote A Town Called Christmas.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
We have to play that this year.
It's my spoof of the Hallmark Christmas movies.
It was excellent.
As a radio play. No, I've written a couple of like little things like that. It's fun, but it is very challenging. And it's the kind of thing where it's like, when I was writing that, I remember thinking like, I got to wrap this up somehow. Like,
right.
You somehow make it work. But
yeah,
I mean, the people who have written like these amazing novels,
yes,
or even just like someone like Stephen King, like probably not the greatest writer on the planet, but he is such a workhorse and he has so much talent too. It's like, how do you even exist? How are you just cranking this out book after book after book? It's crazy.
Yeah. I think with any of these disciplines, the thing that is hard for most people is not easy for you, but you enjoy it. Right. So like you take a football player, the hardest part about that is being big, fast and strong, but those guys like the work that it takes to do that. It's why they get it done. A musician, it feels impossible to write notes and write a song. But for a musician, it's fun. It's hard, but it's an enjoyable experience. And the same thing, I think, for writers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the part of it. Like, we would call it talent. And I think it is part of what makes up a talent, right?
It's a good take.
It's having the love for the work that it takes to be able to do it.
Yeah.
And, like, for me, baseball was like that. I loved practicing. I loved the work. I enjoyed doing that part, which is why I was pretty decent at it.
That's a good take.
Mm.
Yeah. People are sharing the irrelevant everyday things that they're terrible at, like estimating how much pasta to cook, parallel parking, writing an ampersand. Who's ever written an ampersand?
I do all the time.
I just do the little cross.
Yeah. I do like a weird cross with an extra line thing.
Anything like that, using chopsticks?
Man, that pasta one, that's a big one. It is impossible to correctly measure the amount of pasta you're going to need.
Yeah. Just make the whole box.
But what if the whole box isn't enough, Kevin?
Oh, well, then you make two boxes.
What if you've got a growing boy? What if you bought one at the store because you thought it would be enough, Kevin? You don't have two boxes.
Why are you talking like a baby?
Yeah, what happened?
This happened to me literally like a week ago.
Wait, one box?
What? What do you mean?
You eat a whole box?
Like, what are you eating?
Well, it was five people.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Always buy one more box than you think you'll need. No, that's a good question.
I'm getting so much better at parallel parking.
Yeah, it used to be a thing for you.
Yeah, if I could just brag for a second.
Sure. Like,
how nice for you.
Well, I have to, because where I park on my street, like, I have to parallel park. So I've just, I mean, watch me, like, completely screw it up tonight whenever I get home. But there's a method to it.
Are you
It's not totally impossible, like
back,
I previously thought.
Are you a pull in?
I like it when there's just enough room on the street where you can pull in. That's the ultimate. But I can now, like, line up my car with the other car and then, like, cut it again.
Did you not learn when you were like 16?
No, I was such a bad driver. My driver's ed instructor told, it was like my third cousin or something, and he told my grandma, like, she is scared to drive. You need to get her out there driving more. And whenever it was time to take the driving test, he was like, just pull up along the curb. We'll call that parallel parking. Because I think they just knew it was like a hopeless situation when I was 16.
Yeah. Razor's Edge?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I didn't realize we were doing that here. But there was a, it's on the show sheet. I should know. It just slipped my mind. There was a study done that shows that the younger generations take social media likes to heart much more than the old, like, you know, for example, like us and older, like millennials and older, we're able to differentiate between like, okay, social media makes me feel a certain way, but I know it's not real life. It's this and this and this. Well, younger people have a harder time differentiating that. They are much more emotionally impacted by things like social media likes. And in fact, if they post something and it doesn't get the amount of likes that they were hoping for, it can really like psychologically mess them up and ruin their day. I think that, you know, a lot of times people are like, oh, these kids, they just don't understand the difference. I get that to an extent, but the kids are also right in a way too. I mean, we live in an attention economy. Like, what is more valuable than your attention in 2024? I mean, really, I'm really posing the question, like, what is more valuable to come? Like, that's why everybody wants your data. Everybody wants your email address, because they want to get things in front of your eyeballs. Mm-hmm. So these kids, even though they're having this like kind of outsized emotional reaction to not getting what they want on social media or things aren't going the right way, you could try to comfort them and say, oh, it's not real life. But in some ways, it is real life. It's becoming a completely separate reality from the one we're existing in right now, talking to each other.
Yeah, just because it's not important to me doesn't mean it's not the world to someone else.
Absolutely. And there's
and
so much money.
It is important to me when I do it. Like, I post so infrequently, but like when mom was passing away and we were posting things and people were you know, flooding with love and affection, that meant the world to me. And if we like posted the chocolatier stuff from yesterday and two people liked it and that was it, that would hurt my feelings.
Right.
So I get it. If I were doing that on, you know, multiple times a day, that's now become my currency.
Hmm. And the social media companies might be running into a bit of a problem here, because on one hand, kids get more of a boost from likes than adults. But on the other hand, if they're not getting the results they want on social media, they might be quicker to abandon these kind of platforms because they're not getting that serotonin boost. Adults are able to go like, oh, okay, I posted my picture and it flopped, but there's still fun stuff going on Facebook. I'll stick around.
Yeah.
The younger generation is much more likely to just close it out and be done for the day, which obviously social media companies don't want.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, there's a couple things on this, but one is this is definitely on us as parents to train them to understand it properly and not just let them figure it out on their own. Because there's a difference, Dave, between a significant life event, you know, a parent passing away and people showing sympathy versus, hey guys, had McDonald's today, here's my post, and nobody likes it and you get sad that nobody likes it. Like, there has to be an understanding of the scale of what you're doing. Random everyday things don't matter. And it doesn't matter if you get likes for that. But if it's something bigger, a job announcement, a death in your family, things along those lines, and then you get it, I could understand people being like, damn, well, nobody said a word. That's kind of cold. I could get that. And I think we as the older generations have to train them better, the expectation. Like, hey, your everyday, day-to-day posts don't matter. You're probably not going to get likes. And if you don't get them, it doesn't mean a damn thing.
I'll be very interested to see if my kids have kids how they parent when it comes to social media.
Yeah.
Because for my generation, it was, well, there's this thing called Facebook, and I don't know how old you need to be to have it, but okay, you're 10 or 12 or 13 or whatever it is. And for this generation, Gen Z, and even for like Rach and Andrew to some extent, you grew up with it. And you know the good, the bad, and the ugly, and how you're going to treat your kids with it. I wonder if you'll be more strict, like, it ruined me when I was a kid. It made me miserable. You're not getting it till you're 16 years old.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued by, like, Gen Alpha, who are being raised by... I'm not saying all parents are like this, but I know there are a lot of parents out there who spend a lot of time looking at their phone instead of looking at their kid. And I just wonder if this youngest generation is, when they get older, is going to say, like, yeah, that didn't feel good when I wanted mommy's attention and she was too busy posting to Instagram. Yeah. There's another thing I wanted to talk about for Razor's Edge. Have you guys heard of Lunchly's?
What's Lee's?
Lunchly's.
I want them very bad.
So Lunchly's are a Lunchables alternative, and they're created by some YouTubers, Mr. Beast and Logan Paul. So Logan Paul has his Prime Energy drink, or not energy drink, but the Prime Hydration drink.
Those things taste amazing, but they're useless.
And then Mr. Beast, I think, is just contributing one of his chocolate bars. And then the rest of the meal looks like a Lunchable. There's like a pizza one. I think there's a cheese and crackers one. Well, they launched recently. They're already being hit with mold complaints. So these YouTubers have teamed up to feed your children, and they're feeding them moldy foods. Jeez.
So what are they selling? Just a better version of Lunchables? Like,
well, Fiesta Nachos, Kevin. Can't you read the website?
They taste better, or they're healthier, or
it's Mr. Beast, so you want it because it's Mr. Beast.
It's just our version of it.
I want it because it's Mr. Beast.
Okay.
And that's why most children would want it. It's like, oh, Logan, it's Logan Paul, it's Prime. We want this.
I want it because of Mr. Beast.
But I just think it's kind of like a sad indicator of the times where it's like, first of all, let me say, I don't judge anyone who buys this for their kids. I'm sure if I had a child, they would really want this Lunchly, and I would get it for them. I'm not giving it to them every day, but every once in a while, if they wanted Lunchly, okay, I'll pick one up. But isn't it kind of like a sad commentary on our society that YouTubers have become so powerful that now they're providing our children's food and it's got mold in it? Like, this is so weird and so dystopian. It just feels like we have completely lost the thread here.
I guess rich guys are different. You know, rich guys always, you can do more with money. And I just don't have that gear. I mean, I knew I would be a great chocolatier, and I was.
Right.
But I don't have that gear where I'm like, I bet I could make Lunchables and make them better than Lunchables. Let's do it. Like, what? Mm-hmm. That takes work.
I think I can identify somewhat being in the gaming mindset sometimes, because I think it's a similar thing. You're looking at a thing that you always loved, and you're always like, I could make these taste better. I can. Well, now you have the power to do it. You now have the money to do it. Mm-hmm. You now have the. I'm sure that making money is the point, right? More than just doing something cool. But it's the crap you talked about with your buddies forever. Like, I could make a better thing of this, and now you have the chance to do it.
I'm just troubled by it, because anything with Logan Paul, he's not a good person. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he's like cornered the market on these children's drinks, and now it's like, now you can bring this for lunch at school every day, kids. It's like, man, they're already watching him for hours at a time. It just feels a little off the rails and a little crazy
me. That's the thing. I don't even think they're necessarily like, we're going to do Lunchables but make them better and better for kids or whatever. It's none of that. It's kids already spend 24 hours a day either watching Logan Paul or watching
what
Mr.
do they
Beast.
Watch him do?
Logan Paul?
No, I've never watched
I don't
Logan
know.
Paul
he,
video.
He just does dumb crap and kids watch it. I don't even know if
like
he really
Jackass
does.
Kind of stuff?
Now he does like podcasts or some garbage like that, I think. Like a video podcast kind of thing where he just talks to rappers or whatever. But it used to be like he'd do, you know, dumb stunts or whatever and you know.
My main problem with him is that he advertises to children in unethical ways. Like, whenever you're using YouTube, there's so many regulations on how you can advertise to kids on television and for good reason. But on YouTube, you can just kind of, well, I'm making a YouTube video. So then you can convince children that they need all of this different stuff. It's just a bad situation. And now they're feeding the kids.
Right.
It just freaks me out. It's too much.
Again, mom and dad can tell kids no.
That's true.
If you don't think it's good, if you don't think there, I mean, like, so I just, for the first time this past week, I was telling Andrew about it. Last week, the first time ever, I bought the Prime drinks I don't usually buy them because they're way more expensive than Gatorade and Powerade. And
but I saw a YouTube video.
And they're not. No, no. They were on sale. They were on sale, so I bought it because I wanted to see what it tastes like because Cherry Freeze sounded good. And it is good. It tastes good. But then when you look at it, you're like, eh, that's not really a good hydration drink, though, because it doesn't have the things that it needs to have to actually help you hydrate. It just tastes good. It's like, I like Kool-Aid, so I bought the Kool-Aid. And that's fine if you know it, but they're selling it as something else. They're trying to sell it as it's Gatorade, it's Powerade. Those things have parts of it that help make you, help hydrate you that the Prime does not have. And it's just not a high-quality thing, but it does taste good. So if you're just looking for taste, it's fine. But that's, again, a thing where parents come in and you can tell your kids no. I had to do this summer with energy drinks because all the kids, I coach 14-year-olds, all the kids want energy drinks. They want a Monster. They want a Red Bull because we play at 9 a.m. Like, you're 14.
Yeah.
You do not need an energy drink in the morning. You'll be fine. You don't need it. And I actually had to send a message to the group saying, stop using these in the heat because they dehydrate you. You're going to feel worse. Stop. You don't need them. Just eat some good stuff. You'll be fine just when you show up at the field. And I had a couple of parents that were like, oh, I'm so happy you sent that because they're always bugging me. Well, just say no. Just say,
it's a bad combination.
You're not getting that.
Because overall, I think this generation of parents have had a harder time saying no in general.
I get it. There's more pressures
too. To say no to.
Yes.
Like my mom and dad had to say no to like three things.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a fair point because when you're looking at teenagers now, the things that they have exposure to that they would like you to get, it's constant. So yeah, I can get it. I mean, I get worn out too. And you're like, fine. Okay. Let's do that. But with any of these things, if you look at it and like for the reasons Rachel cites, I don't like the way that they're doing this. Well, then just you don't have to buy them.
Yeah.
And the kids aren't going to buy themselves.
I got so mad. I love the local news. It's like a love affair. I just love watching it every morning and every night. I can watch the same thing over and over again. But I hate that they speak to the dumbest, lowest common denominator. And when they had that Longhorn Steakhouse outbreak of E. coli or whatever it was, and they're talking about it, and they said, if you've eaten if this Longhorn in the last few weeks, and if you're experiencing terrible stomach problems and explosive diarrhea, the CDC says you should consult a physician. I wanted to crawl through the television and kick everyone's ass. Are you kidding me? Like, oh, thank you. And then today, I heard a whole thing about wearing layers. I'm so sick of this. It's me, isn't it?
I think it's you. Yeah, I'm sorry. What else are they supposed to say? They've got to kill time.
But that's the whole thing. You don't need to say the obvious.
Yes.
If there's anyone out there who's so friggin' stupid that you ate at the Longhorn and you're watching a report about how everyone got sick and died,
yeah,
and you're having these symptoms and someone has to tell you to call a doctor, you might as well just die.
I mean, we do it every summer, right? Three keys to handling the heat. Drink water. Stay in the shade. Limit exercise.
Put a jacket on if it gets cold.
Really? Huh. So you think the shade's better than the sun when it's hot out? Thank you.
He gets it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right.
Rachel, you digging the April Wine?
It's nice.
They jammed, man.
I'm rocking out.
It was great. This is me over at the Mutz Boys house and playing drums with Bob and hanging out with my buddy Mike, who was very popular and I was not. But I made him laugh at basketball practice, so he invited me into the inner sanctum and playing April Wine and playing drums to it. And he had a big poster of Muppets in Space. Good times.
Nice.
Really good times.
Sounds very fun.
It was fun. Stairway to Kevin?
Yeah, I want to. So this is kind of in the theme of what we're talking about a lot with Halloween. We touched on this, what was it, maybe last week when Ouija boards came up. Do you know exactly how they work? Do you know why they work?
No.
Well, it's not ghosts or demons.
Oh.
You are not. Oh. I mean, like, I'm not trying to be like
it's your
mean.
Dead grandma.
I'm not trying to be totally mean, but come on, a cardboard thing you can buy at Walmart is not channeling demons and spirits.
I'm still not touching it.
Right? Well, then what is it channeling? So, I'm thinking devil.
It's called the ideomotor effect, which is the people that are touching the thing are subconsciously doing it. So the example that I saw given on this was think about the times that you're on a long drive and you're thinking about something and you get to where you're going and you're like, man, I don't remember the details of how I got there. Mm-hmm. Because your subconscious mind just took over. There are things that are happening there that you're not consciously aware of. Your subconscious doesn't necessarily need the conscious mind to be focused on a task for that task to be done. Mm-hmm. So what the researchers who looked at this have figured out is, yes, it's the people that are touching it that are moving it, and it might even be more than one person, but it's your subconscious mind that's doing it. So you might not even think, I'm moving this, but you are. Because consciously, you're not. You're thinking about, is there a ghost out there? You're asking the questions. Can you hear me? Do you want to communicate?
Now, wait a second. Are you saying that it's like fine motor things that are not only subconscious but idiosyncratic, that you don't know where you're moving it, or that you're moving it to spell Uncle George?
It's under the control of your subconscious mind. So you are not the one choosing it. You're not consciously choosing it, right? Your subconscious mind does all kinds of things without you even knowing it. And this would be one of them, where you can be concentrating on a completely different thing, but your subconscious is just directing the action.
So you would be happy playing with a Ouija board at a party because you know it's not demon infested.
I've done it. I mean, like, I did it. We did in college. It was, I mean, like, and there were a couple of people that are like, I mean, one of the girls that was there, she freaked out and ran out of the room because apparently one of the answers was something that nobody else knew. Well, it was her mind that did it. She was the one that answered
victim
the question,
blaming.
But didn't. No, I'm saying she didn't know she was doing it. I mean, this has been studied, and I find
that's almost as creepy as it being demons.
That was going to be what I was going to ask the group, because after explaining this to me, which is creepier? That your brain is doing all kinds of things and advanced motor skills that you don't even know. You don't even know it's happening. That's crazy. I find it. I mean, it's cool in a sense. Mm-hmm. And
Andrew, you buying it?
It's so crazy that it's literally the devil. Like, it's so wild. Kevin's right. The fact that it channels the devil is just nuts.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're the devil.
They shouldn't sell that stuff at Target.
Unless you're the devil, then it ain't the devil that's pushing
that
thing.
Man, I wish Andrew was the devil. I feel so much better about going to hell.
But there
be pizza.
Yeah, because we're friends with him.
It wouldn't be so bad.
No. Wouldn't be bad at all.
I could run a pretty good hell.
You're like, eat another donut, Dave. I'm like, okay.
But I'm like, look, it's important to me that everybody here is having a good time.
Like, I could understand.
Dude, hell sucks. We're having corn for dinner again.
Yeah. Could you imagine the little pitchfork,
just
red suit?
Just because it's hell doesn't mean it can't be a little fun.
And we're going to have roasted corn. Like, when you think about the mass production of cardboard game, because the patent to this, or the copyright, whatever, is owned by a game maker.
Yeah,
like
Milton Bradley,
the ultimate game
right.
maker is
if,
Satan.
If you if you were gonna make the case that like there was some really old wooden board carved out of some cursed thing, all right, maybe. But I mean, like, you just bought it at Walmart for $8.99. You really think that you're going to communicate with anyone that way?
There's no way.
I want to be very clear. Yeah, it's probably more like $20
now. Probably like $20 now.
I'm not in any way claiming that supernatural doesn't exist. That's not my point.
Just not in this board.
What I'm saying is, it's not the little cardboard thing with a plastic. What do they call that stupid thing that slides around on the
Ouija board?
The devil's tool.
Yeah, the devil's pitchfork. Whatever that stupid little thing is you put your hands on.
It's called like a
Planchette.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though it's plastic. Yeah. I mean, like, so you'll get this little plastic thing and a cardboard thing with letters on it, and that's going to channel the dead. I mean, not buying it.
Okay, isn't that the same, though, as like, okay, let's say if we wanted to have a seance, and it's like, oh, don't worry, this seance won't work. We bought these candles from Target. Like,
You're using it
as a tool, but the
person that's doing it is the one bringing it out, right? You need a medium. It's not like I could start a seance, or you or anybody else. Someone who in some way either claims to have or has shown to demonstrated to have the ability to communicate with the dead would have to be the one running that. Otherwise, it's just candles, right?
I guess. I still am not touching one. Under any circumstances.
But isn't it crazy, though, that your mind can do that and you don't know it? Right? Like, you're conscious. You're awake. You're alert. You know that you're participating in this activity, and you're thinking about it like, what's going to happen? What is there a spirit here? But yet your subconscious mind is just moving your hands.
Interesting question. Why do you believe that?
Because it's been studied by people who study the human body, and they have examples of this same thing with other behaviors that are not related to Ouija boards. Right? The driving analogy that I just gave you, where you could be driving home from work and you're thinking about your rough day at work and you realize, damn, I don't remember any of the details from that 20-mile drive home.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. It's the exact same phenomenon. You can drive a car. You can avoid hitting other cars. You can avoid getting speeding tickets. You can do all that while your mind is thinking about something else, while your conscious mind, your active thought is about something else.
So, can I just tell you this?
Yeah.
I'm texting Julie Lally during the segment because we're talking about doing something with Channel 5 on No One Dies Alone. And I look down and I have written a hugely long text. You're thinking about it. Question, why do you believe that? Because it's been studied by people who study human body and they have examples. So she's about to get a Wheeler text. She'd be like,
did you have the voice to text on?
Yeah.
Oh, is it picking up the audio?
What's wrong with you?
So Wheels, what do you think of, because I am being genuine when I say I will never touch a Ouija board.
I will
never play with one. Do you just think that I'm silly?
No. I mean, I think you were taught, you grew up thinking that, and it's hard to break that belief.
Mm-hmm.
You were taught to be dumb.
Yeah. No,
he's like, I don't think you're dumb. I just pity you.
It's not dumb, but it's an ingrained.
It's not your fault. You're stupid.
I mean, it's like saying you're afraid of snakes. Well, you don't really have a reason to be unless there's one here, but it's part of your brain. You were brought up that way, and it's hard to change.
And you don't
a
think
pattern
the devil is everywhere?
No, I don't. But regardless of that, I don't think that, I don't think a piece of plastic on a cardboard plant is going to be your channel to the spirit world.
What if Lucifer Morningstar's real name in heaven was Milton Bradley? And he was so pissed about that dork name. That's what made him revolt.
He renames himself Lucifer Morningstar because he's
Stop calling me Milton.
I did not know this.
I'm Lucifer. Don't call me Milton, Mom.
I have not seen The Exorcist, so I wasn't aware of this, but this is how Reagan gets possessed, is the Ouija board.
In the movie.
No, in real life, too.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
The young boy?
The kid?
Yeah. He was playing Ouija board with his aunt, who was a spiritualist.
Oh, and the aunt just gets away scot-free?
No, she died and haunted him.
Oh.
Yeah, she scratched his mattress from the inside.
Oh.
I know.
Yeah, I worked on that Exorcist show a couple years ago, and I feel like I just, with so much of the Halloween stuff, I'm just like, never thinking about that again as soon as the show's over.
Try being me. I've poked about 28 ghosts now. Yeah. So.
And again, I'm not saying the spirit world doesn't exist because I don't know. That's my clear take on it. I've never experienced it, but I don't know. It's not my point. Just my point is that if there are ways to communicate with them, it is probably not with the thing you bought at Walmart.
Although...
Or Toys R Us or
in
whatever.
In fairness, if I'm a demon and I know all of this stuff, I understand some conscious, you know, small twitch muscle behaviors, I'm still going to infest this plyboard thing just because it's ironic.
You're the irony demon.
Yeah.
I get it.
Right?
Yeah. Is the irony demon related to the butt demon?
I would possess, like, whatever, like Kevin's video game controller or something. Like, I just to show him. I just need a show of forces, all right?
Rach, you're killing it on the music.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Just picking stuff I think you'd like, Gabe.
You're hitting it. I love this guy's voice.
Sing it like this.
He sings like Pee Wee's Pig.
Playing with disaster, like, Pee Wee.
Like,
Sing he does.
There's a little Yoda in there too.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
a little bit. Should I tell these guys my latest embarrassing fear?
Yes.
I mean, it's good for the people, right? They get to hear someone who's weirder than them, and I just I suffer from anxiety and depression, and I feel like my check engine light's always on, and my license plate are always expired, just in life in general. And when Matt Chambers told me that it was going to be a wind gust of 40 miles an hour, I looked outside at the big tree that's going to fall on my house one day, and I'm like, well, this is the day. I don't think trees are made to sustain 30-mile-an-hour winds. And here's how bad it got, Wheels. I literally, when I left this morning, I walked out and I shoved on it like it was going to wiggle like a loose tooth or something.
That's pretty amazing.
It's hard being me, man. It's hard being me.
That's pretty amazing. How big is this tree?
Big.
Like, can you wrap your arms around the trunk of it, or is it too big?
It's about your size.
Oh, so it's pretty big.
Big.
There it is, day two. We almost escaped because Ron didn't bring it up.
It's just way taller because no, he did earlier.
Oh, did he?
He did.
I missed it.
Yeah. It was brief, though.
It doesn't have to be much to count.
No, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're trying to get as many days in a row that we don't talk about how swole Wheeler is.
I think you guys are exaggerating.
I wish we were. I'd feel better.
I wish you weren't. It'd be great to actually
you wanna
be
bigger?
Huge. Yeah.
How much bigger do you want to be?
I don't know. I don't think I'm that big now.
You're going to look like a freak.
That I want to be
gonna,
big as a freak.
You're going to look like a Batman villain.
Maybe that's what I'm preparing for. You never know. You know, radio, sometimes you don't know what's coming next. If I have to be a villain.
You just need to shave your head and grow a long mustache.
If you're going
to
be a villain, you better be a super villain.
Yeah.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
They're the only ones that keep getting invited back.
Always saying that.
Which one would I be?
That's why he's not scared of the devil.
Speaking of Matt Chambers, isn't it amazing how much company television provides?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I know that I'm not really talking to my friend Matt Chambers. He's not really talking to me about the weather. But the difference between getting up in the morning, making my coffee, watching Matt do Channel 4 in the morning, or just sitting there in the darkness, right? It's just so different.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no human interaction.
Yeah, I totally get it. Whenever I am fortunate enough to meet TV people, I feel like I'm just like at ease. I'm like, well, you're my friend. We already know each other. Like, you're in my house all the time. Like, that's genuinely what it feels like. So I get what you're saying.
Totally.
And there was always a PBS commercial. I wonder if they're still airing it, but it talked about how television could be your window to the world. And it was like a little, I think it was a little girl, and a Big Bird comes and gets her and takes her to like all these different places in the United States and takes her to like the moon landing and stuff. And it's like, hey, this is what TV is capable of doing. This is what we strive to do at PBS. I always thought that was such a great commercial and such a great message.
Isn't it weird that I missed out on all that? I've never seen an episode of Sesame Street.
That's
not
crazy.
One.
They made me watch Electric Company in second grade.
Oh, yeah.
And I was bored out of my skull.
Hey, you guys!
Oh, man.
Yeah, I didn't like that one.
But yeah, no, Sesame Street, like, Jack and Francis, they were not taskmasters, so they weren't really that concerned with me learning. It was more like, hey, Creature Features on, you want to be real scared for about a week?
What about, like, Nick, BB, they didn't watch?
Yeah, they watched, but they were watching more, like, Little Einsteins and stuff like that. Yeah. I'm sure they watched Sesame Street now and then, but I don't remember watching it with them.
Oh, my kid watched a lot, and she and Nick are pretty similar.
Yeah,
she watched a lot of the. I don't know. They had new shows, but I mean, a lot of Elmo shows specific.
Oh,
like
Elmo
was a big deal.
Oh man, we bought Phoebe a Tickle Me Elmo, and the first time we turned it on, it's freaked her. You know what? And so I used to pull it out, and we put it in the closet.
No Elmo.
And she'd go, Melmo closet.
Melmo.
Melmo in the closet.
She said it like that, too?
Yeah.
That's how my kid said it.
Aw.
Melmo.
Do we have to say no.
No.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!